This is Radiant Reflections, the podcast of the Radiant Life Church in Sturgis, Michigan. Our heart for you is that you would live like Jesus and share his love. Well, welcome everybody. It's season 5 of Radiant Reflections. Really glad that you're here watching. Maybe you're listening to this podcast. It's a long-awaited return for the podcast. We're really excited. I'm Pastor Josh, and I'm joined by
Pastor Brandon.
Yeah.
And I'm Pastor Ryan.
What do you guys do at the church?
I just sit around, read my Bible.
Okay.
Wait to talk to people.
Mm. That's real. I mean, that's
That is a little somewhat truthful, but there are many other things that I do.
Many.
But but title spiritual formation, and just trying to help people be more like Jesus.
Yeah, I love it. How about you?
I'm the next gen pastor, so I do a lot of that just with the next gen as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Hearing you say that, I feel like that is basically what you do. You do a lot of that. Sit around, read your Bible, and just, I don't know if I want to unveil the curtain of what happens in the office, but that's
how the sausage is made.
I am the court jester here at the church, so I play the guitar.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Oh, so you don't sit with Jesus or read your Bible?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Most times. Yeah. Yeah. For season 5 of Radiant Reflections, we're going to do something a little bit different. We've done a book conversation before, but this is in conjunction with a teaching series called In Pursuit of the Spirit, happening Sundays here at Radiant Life. If you haven't been there for one of the messages, I encourage you to come check it out, 8:30, 10:30 on Sunday mornings, or you can watch the broadcast at 10:30. All those messages are always on YouTube. You can check them out. But I thought kind of to start, guys, to be interesting, this book is all about reintroducing the Holy Spirit to those in search of an experiential spirituality. It'd be cool to, I think, for the listeners and viewers to know what's our experience with the Holy Spirit. Where do we come from as pastors, like growing up in the church? Some of us grew up in a lot of different contexts here, I think, just the three of us. So, Pastor Brandon, tell us a little bit. What's your experience with the Holy Spirit? What's your church background, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Growing up, my mom and I went to the Catholic Church. And so they would have like music and then your normal mass. I do have this one memory that kind of came to mind I don't even remember what the song was that we were singing, but I just remember feeling something. Sometimes, you know, maybe it's that goosebump feel or whatever, but really didn't know anything about Holy Spirit. And I think in that tradition, that church that I grew up, they even said Holy Ghost sort of thing. So it's like, it's like, I've heard of him or it or whatever. Like, I just didn't know what it was sort of thing. Fast forward to me getting saved. I think I believed in Holy Spirit, or at least understood that he existed, but I didn't really have a firm grasp of who Holy Spirit is and the role that he plays in my life. And then just continuing with my discipleship and just really even being here on staff and with all the staff members and some of the journey that we have all been on, some of the books that we have read, like Signs and Wonders by Sam Elliott, Dr. Sam Elliott. And then I think one major event, actually there's two major events that kind of come to mind for me. I think the hunger for me was really high, and we went to an event where the speaker was drawing people forward, and then during that, like, I don't want to say altar call, but just that maybe a time of commissioning or praying over, this person was praying over some other pastors, but they happened to be mic'd, and they're praying in tongues, which that was a first for me. It's like
first time you heard it out loud.
First time I ever heard it. Like, I've heard of people praying in tongues, or heard of it before, but never actually like heard with my own ears, sort of thing.
Wow.
And I just remember standing there like, okay. And I just turned around, went back to my seat. Like, I wasn't like weirded out by it, but it's just like, okay. And then separate conference, it was actually Chris Conrad, and he was doing a teaching. And before he even started teaching, there was something welling up so deep within me that it's like, I'm going to go to an altar call. And he had just started his introduction to the message. And he used this word picture. He was sharing about how he's got a friend who has a lot of wealth and has multiple vehicles, and he got to drive one of those vehicles, and one of them's really fast. And then he throws this slide on of a gas gauge, and he's like, doesn't matter how fast the gas gauge is going, unless you're full of the Holy Spirit, like, you're not going to be able to go. And it's like, whoa. And I did eventually go forward, and I was just overwhelmed. I don't know how else to describe it. I just overwhelmed. Nothing weird happened. I was very emotional. Someone came and laid hands on me and prayed for me, and I just felt fully alive, to use our language. So, and then it's been since those moments, it's been growing in my understanding of Holy Spirit, but then also experiencing, how do I see him playing out in other people's lives? And it just blows me away, just how differently he'll work in different situations and in different people's lives. And I just think that's really cool to be able to observe that.
Yeah. I think your story highlights something important to kind of pause and think about. When you were born again, when you received Christ, and I happen to know that it was at a, Promise Keepers.
Yeah,
it was a Promise Keepers event. So you accepted Jesus. You were born again that day.
Yeah.
Did you experience a filling of the Holy Spirit at that time?
That's interesting. I never really thought about that. That's an interesting question.
It doesn't sound like you
no.
did.
Yeah. I would probably say no. I know that I, in a physical sense, felt a weight come off of me when I accepted Christ.
Sin, perhaps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like a freedom, the bondage, like a lot of stuff.
You knew you were different.
Yeah. But this overwhelming, like, it's just so hard to put it into words.
Yeah.
That wasn't until later on. So yeah, I would say a baptism of the Holy Spirit came later on in my walk.
Yeah. And we see examples of that in scripture. I mean, there are some guys who came upon Paul, and they're talking about Jesus. And Paul says, have you been baptized in the Spirit?
Yep.
They're all
like, what?
We don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. What are you talking about? You know? And then they receive the Spirit. So I think the Bible really supports your experience and your story. Not every time when a person comes to Christ, do they experience the filling of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And I like how you've said too, that there's been other moments. It wasn't just this one moment when you were at 41 hours or when you were at Dr. Conrad's message. You've experienced a filling again.
Oh.
And again.
Yeah.
And again.
Yeah. Multiple times.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
In a meeting.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Cool. Man, thanks for sharing that. Ryan, how about you? What's your church context? What's your background experience with the Holy Spirit?
Yeah. So, my dad's a pastor. He's a pastor in the holiness movement. It's a smaller denomination, but all part of the holiness movement. And so really I've had a unique experience of, watching Holy Spirit move in unique ways from a very young age. Okay. But I will absolutely say, I followed that when you said we called it Holy Ghost, like, you know, 50 different names for Holy Spirit, you know, Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. I mean, all these different infilling names. But there was one moment where, specifically as you were speaking, it reminded me, I was through college, you know, through pastoring school, I was already been pastoring for a few years, and we were invited, our church was to come and partner with this other smaller church in town. It was a Pentecostal church. Right in this lower income area neighborhood. And I remember walking in the doors and not ready for what was going to happen, not ready for what just was going to explode out of this place. Their worship was very different. It was one of those churches that would always have music going, like they were live band. They were always playing. So the whole,
even during the sermon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
2.5 hours long.
And great musicians.
Incredible musicians.
Yes.
Great stuff. And at this point there was a lady worshiping with flags. I'd never seen that before. Mm-hmm. There was somebody running around with a tambourine. I mean, Phil, you know, taking laps and she'd holler it out. I'm taking a lap as she
she's running around. And so it was this, I mean, it was just pulled blinders off my eyes. Like, whoa, wait a minute. I knew about this, I think, in theory, but I never experienced, like, okay, there are people that follow Holy Spirit and they jump into this, like, there's a lot more that's added to this. And I'd never experienced, in my word, such an extreme view or extreme worship style with Holy Spirit. And so it kind of challenged me a little bit, because my view of Holy Spirit was he catches you when it's soft and it's quiet and it's silent and it's very breath, as if, I mean, the pneuma, or you've got the ruach of God. I mean, there's this whole breath. But I hadn't experienced, wait a minute, the giftings of Holy Spirit, what does that look like? And you know, then of course the challenges with our staff, our whole pastoral staff was there. And so then began the backwards and dissertation of what really is a gift of the Spirit and what's this, I mean, all this other stuff that can go on. But it really challenged me to dig a little deeper into that, because I really hadn't experienced it. I mean, here I am pastoring, you know, going through years of schooling and I mean, all these degrees and stuff, but I hadn't really dug into really who is Holy Spirit. What are those giftings? What are the giftings he's given to me and, you know, my wife or my family? How is that active, and how can that be active? And then it kind of pursued even further. So being on staff here is fun, because there's that same hunger. And I appreciate that, because that pushed on me, you know, and challenged me to dig deeper into really, what do I do with Holy Spirit? I mean, you know, the only one that's active and present now. I mean, God being active, God being Jesus himself. Yeah. But here on earth, he gave us his Spirit. What am I doing with that? How am I really applying who God is, and how am I really interacting with him on a daily basis? You know, and it really challenged me to question that. And so I've had a kind of that up and down. We always talked about it, but it was the third person of the Trinity that, you know, we see in Scripture, but it's very vague, it's very short, and there was no physicalness. And so if you can't say, you can't touch, it doesn't make good Bible stories. So we kind of, we almost threw it away. Like, we don't really know what to do with that. Yeah. So we put it in the back burner. So, I'm just excited to kind of dig into this and see where Tyler goes with this and, kind of some of the stuff he opens up. Cause it's, I feel like, often overlooked. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it definitely is. And I can't wait for Pastor Ryan to be on the podcast, because his story and how he came to understand the Holy Spirit was a powerful, and it shaped kind of the, I would say the current here, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
I grew up in a Calvary Chapel church. It's a non-denominational church. I call it a rock and roll church, a hippie church. It's where the Jesus Revolution movie, you know, with Greg Laurie and all those churches in Southern California. So I grew up, I didn't, you know, have any experience with hymns at all. I mean, I didn't, I still don't know a whole lot of them. Mm. I always attended a church with a drummer and, you know, electric guitars. But the church I grew up in was charismatic, but not Pentecostal. And like what you described a church, at least to my understanding, that believes they're Pentecostal, meaning the things that happened in Acts chapter 2 in Pentecost must happen in every service. Mm-hmm. That's why they define themselves as Pentecostal people. I grew up in a charismatic church. Calvary Chapels would say that they're charismatic. And what that means, at least my understanding, was all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in operation today. So I grew up that way my whole life, believing that prophecy was a real thing. The gift of healing was a real thing. And speaking in tongues was a real thing. I would say the difference that I experienced growing up is we heard people speak in tongues in our services, but it was very rare. Mm. And it was one person, maybe a second person, you know, in a worship service. It wasn't during teaching, because our instruction was always like, the Holy Spirit's not going to interrupt himself. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit speaking through the gift of teaching, which is a gift of the Spirit. Yeah. Why would the Spirit interrupt himself with a tongue or a word in the middle of a teaching time? Yeah. And so Calvary Chapels have this word called afterglow, which is essentially like a constructed space or a pocket, essentially, for the Spirit to move in some of those sign gifts. And so the other thing I grew up with is when, particularly like the gift of tongues was in operation, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, it should never be without interpretation. And so I grew up experiencing, if there was someone speaking in tongues in a corporate gathering, not a prayer language, the expectation was that there would be an interpretation. The other thing I grew up with, and I still sort of, I think I still land here, is the gift of tongues as it's imparted by the Spirit, not a prayer language, but imparted by the Spirit, is a vertical exclamation. So in a corporate setting, when you hear someone, what I understood, again, I'm mm-hmm. open to correction. I grew up in some spaces where I was at a Pentecostal church and you hear someone exercise the gift of tongues and then an interpretation would come and it would say something like, thus saith the Lord, as if God is speaking through this person to us. I was always taught and raised that's prophecy. What was really happening was prophecy. Generally, when we would hear the gift of tongues, it's from man to God. And so the interpretation would always be these exclamations of worship, where we're talking to God in a language about him. We're worshiping him in a language and in a way that we can't in our, it surpasses our capacity to do in our normal language. And so I grew up seeing healings. Again, it was not common, but it happened, you know, and I grew up James 5, you would come to the elders of the church, they would anoint with the oil, they'd pray a prayer of faith, and we'd seek God for healing. Grew up experiencing prophecy, where someone would stand up in some of those services, and they would say, I really feel like God is saying this to us. And it was always a super sort of weightiness, you know what I mean? Like a heaviness to anytime the Spirit was moving in the sign gifts in my growing up, it was always this really weighty sort of thing. But I did grow up experiencing it. So when I came here to the Wesleyan Church, and I didn't really know a lot about the theology. I didn't know the different, you know, I knew the difference between Calvinism and Arminianism, but I didn't know how much that affected a lot of the perceptions. And so I remember when I first started working here 10 years ago, I would be on stage and I'd have my electric guitar and Ryan would be in the worship center. And I would always ask him, like, is this okay here? Because I didn't know. Like, I was like, I don't want to be out of line. I want to go with whatever the flow is, but like, is this going to be cool or, you know, so it has been it's been a cool experience to read those books with the staff and see God move in the staff. And all of us kind of come and my heart and mind has changed and shifted in some of those understandings, and how those gifts operate. But I remain believing that all the gifts are for us today.
Yeah.
All of them are for us today.
I think that's where I land. Just based on where I'm at, knowledge and with experience. I think both of those worlds have collided, or one world collided into the other. So it kind of disrupted, okay, maybe I don't know everything I thought I knew. Sort of thing. So which is the beauty about doing this in community with one another.
There's an iron sharpening iron. There's a sanding that takes place. And I was sharing with Ryan back in the green room, differentiation teaches me or encourages me to hold things loosely.
Yeah.
To be a person of differentiation is to come into spaces and recognize I have thoughts and opinions and whatever, but can I be a person that is open and a person who is willing to learn and grow and be taught?
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
declare, you know?
Right.
And I came up that way, you know, it's like declarations and like telling everyone whatever. Yep. And that's been a work of God's Spirit and remains, it continues to be a work of his Spirit in me. It's like be soft.
Yeah.
And open.
Yeah. The last class I just took, the professor was saying, you know, eat the whole fish and just spit out the bones.
Yeah.
Right. Like, just another word picture of what you're saying. Let's just hold it loosely. Doesn't mean I have to take in everything or whatever but I'm open to what the Lord might have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, even your experience of being in the Catholic Church and you experienced a real presence of the Spirit at one moment during a song that was sang, you just shared with us.
Yeah.
There was a time in my life where I would have said, no, that's not possible. You can't experience the Holy Spirit at the Catholic Church. I would say stuff like that, you know, or I would say to my Pentecostal brothers and sisters, you're like monkeys hanging off the chandeliers and, you know, swinging from the fences and the banners. Where is God in that? And God's Spirit has checked me and rebuked me, I think, in some ways, to be like, you know what? It's not for me to use banners today.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be a person who says, no, that is not a work of God's Spirit. I think there are some ways we can, you know, like there's some ground we can stand on.
Sure.
You know, there's some things. Early on in my walk, like a year after I got saved, it's been like year 2000, I was a part of a Pentecostal, like young adults group, like 30 and unders. So we were out of high school, but not 30. I think we have it here. Same thing.
Yeah.
Right? 29. And I remember being in a prayer gathering and this girl, we was all quiet. We had our hands together. We're holding hands and she falls down on the ground and she starts laughing hysterically.
Mm.
And we think something's wrong. Like, is she okay? We go over to this girl. Are you all right? It's really a kind of an interruption in this quiet prayer time. And she's laughing and laughing and she puts her finger in her mouth and she says, the Holy Spirit just turned my tooth to gold. I brought back some of this blessing from Brownsville Revival. Is what she described. And it came from Rodney Howard Brown up in Canada. And, and that was one of those experiences. I was like, I knew in my spirit, I was like, I don't know any scripture to say this is weird. But I just knew there's like something was rubbing. Yeah. You know what I mean? There was a witness like, I don't know. I don't know about that. I'm not really sure if that's God moving or not. Yeah. Have you guys been a part of any Pentecostal groups where you've had wild experiences like that?
Sound like maybe you did.
Yeah. So we did end up doing some more work with this other church that I was kind of talking about earlier. And sensationalism, I'm going to go ahead and kind of put that on it and say there were moments of, and I like the way you put it. There were interruptions to what Holy Spirit was doing. God was already moving. God's already speaking. I don't think anything quite that extreme, but moments of even speaking in tongues without interpretation, which is not biblical. I mean, that and where I find it and where I see it, and I'm open to correction on that. But in an ordered worship, a word from the Lord or words this spoken word needs to come with an interpretation. Otherwise, it doesn't lift the body up. It's not for edification of the body. It's for the individual. And so I experienced a few of those and, I didn't correct anything in the middle of that. I wasn't standing up and kind of yelling or wait a minute, kind of anything like that.
But you sensed it,
but you could feel it. Yeah, yeah. You could feel the sense. And it was like, it didn't jive with where I've experienced the church or where I've experienced my history, a tradition of that, or even in scripture. Like it's always brought about and there's an interpretation to follow with it. And specifically what Paul kind of mentions there. But nothing really, I would say beyond that kind of that sensational kind of where we're feeling it. Or sometimes I feel like there are those moments and I've more heard than experienced of emotionalism that kind of builds in there. And we, and I think Tyler actually talks about it in the intro or the first chapter. He kind of mentions that like it's not the spirit, but it's a force. And there's this force of, you know, you get this euphoria or this excitement or this something that's moving and we just blame it on Holy Spirit. Or we say, oh, it must be the Spirit of God moving. And well, is there true scriptural backing for that? Or do we're excited and we're in that euphoria or that feeling because that's not necessarily Holy Spirit. I mean, there are times where he works through our emotions, but just because we have that emotion doesn't mean that it's God speaking through us. And so
feelings don't make things true.
Correct.
Yeah.
I, as you're talking, I was thinking of that scripture, you know, what Paul says, let all things be done with decency and in order.
Yeah.
Now, I know that requires interpretation too, though. Like that requires a perspective, but well, gosh, I feel encouraged already just hearing your story. Let's jump into the introduction of the familiar stranger. Let's see what Tyler says.
Absolutely.
Let's see what his experience is. Just open your book to page 9, Roman numeral 9, on the introduction. Nothing standing out there on that first page, guys. We're going to go page by page, listeners, viewers. All right, page 10. What's sticking out to you guys? What really, I like to say shimmered.
At the end of that, kind of end of the second section, I guess really it is there towards the bottom. There was this one nagging issue though. I kept on reading the New Testament, talking back specifically, about who God was and how he'd experienced this. And in the second sentence, he says, I just couldn't shake the honest realization that the experience rumored about on the pages of Acts was much different from my own. Even though the apostles faced plenty of persecution, trials, and conflicts, they seemed to carry the burden of leading the early church lightly. I felt I was carrying the weight of the world.
Wow.
This complete and total different. And specifically his ministry, he's 28 years old, you know, young guy leading this church, doing this and having this entirely different experience. And really he links it a little bit later. He goes on to that to say, I wasn't experiencing Holy Spirit. I hadn't done that. I was trying to do the work of the church, not separate from God, but separate from his spirit, separate from his leading and his guiding. And honestly, when I read this, I had to reread it 3 or 4 times because I thought, wait a minute, I feel like I could attach myself to that feeling. Like, have I tried to do this? Wow. Have I tried even in life, not just in the work of the church, but just in life? Have I tried to do things and just trudge on and trudge forward? That's the motto, right? Pull yourself up by the bootstraps, put your hard hat on, let's do this, let's get to work. In all reality, maybe Holy Spirit wants it, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he wants just to slow down and do something entirely different. And so I appreciated that he started with that, and that really, I think a lot of this writing, and he puts it in the very first page, a lot of this writing comes out of his own experience and experiences of others. So it's not just a, this is what I think, or this is what so-and-so said about this, but these are true experience that comes out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Anything else on 10? Let's look at page 11 there. Anything standing on page 11? I like the last kind of half of a sentence on the second paragraph of 11, but I carried a holy discontent within. I feel like that's like where we're really at as staff and as a church, and maybe listeners, viewers, you're feeling that too. You know, that holy discontent is saying, I know that there's more of this spirit that we've talked about. I don't know what it is, but I think I want it.
Yeah.
I think I want some of that.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I think that's something that we're discerning, is I think people are maybe hungry. I think he uses that. He breaks it down into three things. Hungry, but maybe nervous or unsure.
Yeah.
Just unknown.
Well, because of some of the wacky experiences.
Yeah. Apparently people swinging from chandeliers and stuff.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, Alex Seeley, who was the speaker at 41 hours, she has said, you know, the Holy Spirit's not weird. People are weird.
Yeah.
People are weird.
Right.
Sometimes it's us, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
we fit that description.
Yeah. I'm definitely weird.
That's fair. Oh man. Anything else on 11? Let's go on to the next one. Rumor to reality, page 12. Yeah, there's lots. I got tons of stuff.
Yeah, I marked quite a bit.
Go ahead, man.
Well, just under that subheading, rumor to reality, really that whole paragraph, but to kind of summarize it in the last sentence, he's talking, or he's quoting from Swiss psychologist Carl Jung?
Jung,
okay. Psychological health, according to Jung?
Jung.
Okay. I hope he doesn't quote him anymore. is narrowing the gap between my perceived self and my actual self as much as possible. I think that's like the space that Holy Spirit wants to work, like the real self. So even kind of going back to your last comment of, like, I feel like Holy Spirit's kind of that minister to us actually being fully alive, like spiritually speaking. Some of us might be half asleep, half awake spiritually, but Holy Spirit allows us to be fully awake, fully alert, and our eyes are open to the reality of the world. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay.
And what I hear you saying is, from that quote, the Holy Spirit is in the middle of psychological health.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's in the middle of...
I've experienced that for myself.
Because isn't that the grit in our lives? Like, when our perceived self and our actual self is, there's dissonance there. You know, I'm not who I want to be, or I'm not who I think you're saying that I am.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there's this rub and you're like, I don't like that. And the Spirit's kind of in the middle there saying, I'm going to make you who I want you to be.
Yes.
Because the Spirit always reminds us of the things that Jesus said, convicts the world of sin, got a couple of responsibilities.
Yep. Yeah.
I had that same thing highlighted, man. I totally did. What else on rumor to reality? I got basically the bottom whole section.
Yeah.
I just bracketed. I stopped highlighting.
I'll jump right in there. That third paragraph there, spiritual health is closing the gap between biblical rumor an actual life as narrowly as possible. I feel like we could have a podcast on that sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Spiritual maturity is narrowing the gap between kingdom promise and daily grind. Between what I believe in my head, you talked about this earlier, Kinsey, and what I know in my heart, my emotions, my bones. Between the core beliefs I recite in creeds and sing in worship anthems, and the core beliefs I live day in and day out. Spiritual health means that inevitable gap between the story on the page and the story of my life narrows and narrows like a door creaking shut on a dark room until there's barely a blade of light left.
What a word picture.
Wow. Spiritual health is being and doing what we read and say we believe.
That's how I took it.
It can't just be, I think it can't be void of knowledge. It can't be void of the heartfelt as well. It's the combination of the two.
I would say that in my life, that's probably the space where I've been used by the enemy and in sin the most.
Wow.
Is when I have responded to people with, when the gap was too big, that door was creaked open and it was head.
Yeah.
Like, I went to Bible college. I know my Greek and Aramaic and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
History and, all the pontification, the exalting of head stuff. And you just kind of barf that on to people. You yoke people with that versus that narrowing gaps. Like, there's truth and spirit and all hopefully fueled by love. Hopefully. Yeah. When it's not, that's when it's like super sideways.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder
if
that's
a wordsmith.
Yes. Yeah, and I wonder if that's like for some of our listeners, like you use the word pitcher barfed on. Like, I wonder how many of them that's happened to them. Because the gap in other quote unquote Christians
leaders
or the church, quote unquote, there was a major gap in that human from the pages that we read in scripture to the reality. And Holy Spirit's in the middle of all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you narrow the conversation even more and make it specific to the Spirit.
Yeah. Well, the very next sentence, no, read then
I've got
at the bottom of that page, the Holy Spirit is the
experiential.
Thank you. Words are hard today. Agent of the Trinitarian God, narrowing the gap between biblical promise and everyday experiences and leading to greater spiritual health and maturity.
Keep reading.
Quiet crisis, loud crisis, or a combination of the two. Everyone who attempts to follow Jesus without a deep, rich understanding of and the relationship within dwelling person, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit will one day be confronted by the gap. Maybe the troubling wide gap between biblical rumor and actual life. Actually, I didn't have that marked,
that?
But now I
do you feel
I had my pen. Yeah.
You guys feel the weight of that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I feel like if we could just sit for a second and say to the listeners and viewers, that's season 5. Of this podcast.
Oh,
that's the discussion. That's the heart behind what we're hoping to receive from Pastor Tyler. And also to talk about is to say, we do believe there's a gap between our understanding of what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit and the promises of how the Holy Spirit actually operates in his people. And how our goal will be at the end of this is, how do we close that gap?
Yeah.
Like, how do we walk in decency and in order, but in power?
Yeah.
Where we are seeing people healed of disease.
Yeah.
Where we are hearing a heavenly language, where words of knowledge are happening on a regular basis. And I feel a discontent in my spirit when that isn't happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I want not only to receive, I want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be about it and do the stuff as the Vineyard pastor once said. But
I do. I want to push on that a little further. I love that sentence there. Everyone who attempts to follow Jesus without a deep, rich understanding of and relationship with the indwelling person's presence and power of the Holy Spirit will be confronted by that gap. And that's huge, because I think, and honestly, I think for a long time in my walk with the Lord, I didn't even realize like Holy Spirit was the connection point to Jesus. Mm. I would, and even in the way I would pray, I would pray to God, the Father or Lord or Jesus. Mm-hmm. But I think for 30 years of my life, I never prayed to Holy Spirit. I never even bothered to think, wow, this is literally the communicator between me and God, the Father, me and Jesus. He's the one. And I was trying to have a relationship with Jesus and I didn't even know. Wow. Holy Spirit was an active part of that. I didn't even realize it. And so that struck me. This is another one of those areas I read over and over and thought, I wonder how many of us, maybe as listeners or as part of the church, have even realized that, like, wait a minute, Holy Spirit's active, whether or not I realize he's here, mm-hmm. whether or not I bring him about, he's still active and present. And can't have a relationship with Jesus without relationship with Holy Spirit, which gets difficult when you talk Trinitarian theology. And
say
all that
again. You can't. Said, you used the word can't. Say that again.
Yeah, you cannot have a relationship with Jesus without a relationship with Holy Spirit.
That's pretty heavy.
Huge.
That's heavy.
Huge.
Yeah. Sunday morning in London, page 13. Anything sticking out about the Anglican renewal? John Wimber was mentioned there. That's the pastor I was quoting a moment ago. Anything on 13? Keep going. 14. Start acting like an auctioneer. Going once. Going
heavy.
All right. Page 15. Anything sticking on page 15?
So what letters are those?
15 is X and V. X okay. and V.
Thanks for...
Go back.
I know there's a listener right now that's like, okay, well, I don't know what page he's on.
I've been saying
I'm
the
doing
headings
that for
too.
Them.
It's good.
It's for them, it's not for them. Him. Yeah, on XV there at the top. Yeah. Yeah, good point, he said. Like, this possibility was honestly just occurring to him. It's just that as I was making my way through the people responding, I saw you. So I want to pause. This is in response to the pastor saw him.
Yeah. Was he's coming sitting through. In a service.
Yep, and he was came to the front.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to receive Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, wasn't sure about that. The pastor that was leading the service then came down and was walking through and praying, and this is his response. It's just that as I was making my way through the people responding, I saw you. Then I heard the Lord whisper to me, here's a man filled with the Holy Spirit who has no idea how to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Show him. So I did. As I read this, I was sitting on my front porch. I thought, I wonder how many of our people in our church are filled with the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and don't even know it.
Mm.
Don't even know that they're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
Because that was me.
Yeah.
Didn't know he was residing within me. I don't think we call it enough.
No.
I don't think we get out with that enough and say, wait a second.
I love that thought.
Holy Spirit's in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have the Spirit of God. Even kind of back to your story of being born again, even though you didn't experience a baptism or an immersion in the Spirit, which we'd spend hours talking about that. You had the Spirit.
Yes. Yeah. I don't question that.
You can't
that
just
at
get
all.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You can't just get the Father.
Right. Yeah.
You get all of it,
yeah.
But the Spirit seems to be in measures.
Yeah. So whenever I'm, so the way I wrap my head around this, specifically with baptism, like I connect it with water baptism, and we do full immersion baptisms here, right? Like you're so immersed. You're immersed in the water. It's covering every ounce of you. And this isn't like a jab at churches that sprinkle or anything like that, but it's just being fully immersed. And so like, I guess I use that same translation with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just fully immersed. Not only am I filled, but it's like on the outside, it's just dripping off. Like that's what I would consider.
So when you get saved, maybe you got sprinkled.
Maybe. Sure. They only came up to my waist.
I'm going to poke on the immersion thing. You could still stay alive when you're above the water.
You can still stay alive above the water.
When you go under the water, this is you can't live underwater.
Sure.
You die.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm connecting the
representation
dots.
Of Jesus' death. He died.
Oh, yeah. No, well, yeah.
Is that where you're going?
I'm just saying if you're sprinkled, I think you need to go under.
Help.
Oh. Okay. There, okay. We'll have to say that for another episode.
That feels like a whole other season, right?
I think, catch my words there, I think.
Yeah. Hold it loosely.
Yes. Anything else on 15? Let's keep going, guys, because we've got it. Yeah, we've got.
Let's keep going with the alphabet.
16, XV1, salt on your lips. That very first sentence, St. Augustine is credited with praying, Lord, you have put salt on our lips that we may thirst for you.
I love that.
Yeah. And a couple sentences down there.
That's what I admire.
Oh, you go ahead and read that sentence then.
When it comes to Holy Spirit, in my pastoral experience, I've encountered three categories of people. The thirsty, the suspicious, and the uninformed.
Oh, we got to talk about that. Talk about those three categories. The thirsty. Okay, those are, how would we describe the thirsty ones?
Kind of feel like we've done that.
Yeah.
That's where Holy some of us are like, yeah, like I'm not sure what to, I know there's more. I kind of want to experience a little bit more. Yeah. I want to.
They're open.
Yep.
They're willing. They're like, okay. What about the suspicious?
I'm guessing those are people that may have experienced Holy Spirit or have some sort of knowledge, but maybe they have seen some weird things.
Yeah. Can you be thirsty and suspicious at the same time?
I would say there's a way to be thirsty and suspicious. I think it's kind of tentative.
That's where I was leaning. It feels like that. I feel like I've been that.
I am that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm thirsty for the Spirit of God, but I'm also suspicious.
I also feel like I'm uninformed too. I have some, I feel like I'm all of it, really.
Yeah, good. That's what I was poking at, hopefully.
Okay, uninformed, stop poking.
The uninformed category is a group of people who, they just don't know, right? I mean, those are the people that Paul encountered. They're like, we haven't even heard of Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. We know Jesus, but we don't even know of this Spirit you're speaking of. And we can be all of those in the same day, and all of those at the same time. And listeners, viewers, these are great, maybe stereotypes to represent where you're at. Maybe one, two, or three of them even represent where you are. Our encouragement to you is just continue coming on Sundays or listening to the messages in pursuit of the Spirit. Grab the book, read the book, just be open to God. Here's the thing I think with the Spirit, and I'd love to hear your feedback on this, guys. I think if we just come with this understanding, our Father, set the Spirit aside, our Father and His Son, Jesus, they love us and we can trust them. They aren't going to lead us into something that's going to harm us or hurt us. Mm-hmm. And so as we pursue the Spirit, we can trust our Father, we can trust the Son to keep us and hold us and to protect us from what we're suspicious of. What we're uninformed about, what we don't really know about, and it can stir more of a thirst. What do you think makes people thirsty? Let's ask that question. Then we got to close down. I know we're probably over on time. What makes people thirsty? I think St. Augustine, like right up there.
I think he talks about, I think the Lord offers that. There's so much more. And I think when we just get even a small little taste of that, or we see something, or we begin to feel that, we read something, especially in scripture, and it beckons that thing, or that calls us, and there's that, wait a second, there's more. Yeah. I want to know a little bit more. And I'm a learner. I love to learn. I want to soak in information. And when I learn a fact, I always want to know more about it.
Yeah.
You know, elephants are the only mammals that can jump. Totally random fact. Okay. Why? Why is that? Why are they? And that beckoning or that calling, same thing in scripture. Wait a minute. The Spirit led Peter. He goes, wait, how? Why? How?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's this transformation. The Spirit's gone. Or Peter's gone. Like, how? Why? Yeah.
Translated.
Does it happen now? How does it? Yeah. Yeah. How are? And that pulling. I want more of that. Yeah. And so I think that thirst is offered. The Lord's showing some of His kingdom. He's showing pieces of that to us. We get it in scripture, but we also see it in the world around us. This is what my kingdom is like. This is what my kingdom is like. Well, I want to see more of that.
Yeah.
I want to experience what you said. It's here and now, yet it's also not yet. It's coming. How? I want to see. I want to experience. I want to bring more about that. I think thirst is part of what the kingdom is. It becomes.
We become naturally thirsty in a couple ways, like as humans, when we eat food, right? Your body needs water to digest. And when we exercise, when we exert ourselves, we sweat some of that fluid out, we need water to kind of fill us back up. So I think experience is the big one. I mean, have you guys ever seen someone physically healed?
I've seen the aftermath.
The aftermath.
Yeah.
All of us. Right. What did that do? You thought different next time someone was sick, didn't you?
Absolutely.
You were thirsty. You're like, all of a sudden, now that I've had this taste, I'm like, I know this is real.
Yeah.
So now I want to see, it doesn't mean God doesn't use doctors and medicine, and he heals through those things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But he can,
right,
in a moment, miraculously heal. I think the suspicious people, that's maybe the most dangerous, because suspicion can keep us in a place of criticism. It can keep us in a place of kind of, you know, I'm closed off, you know, I'm suspicious enough to say I'm not wanting to grow. I'm not wanting to change and learn. Uninformed, that's simple. Just keep watching the podcast, guys.
Yeah.
Read the book. Yeah. You know, the answers you're going to see as we go through this book, they're right here. What else on salt on your lips?
I just have this word picture coming to mind. Like, kind of building off of that gap picture that we've already been discussing. Because you were asking, like, what makes us thirsty? So, like, you were talking, like, we can experience the kingdom of heaven now, right? And I know at Bridgetown, like, they use kind of like a Venn diagram type of image to represent the kingdom meeting earth. But we're talking about this gap, and we're like, well, Holy Spirit helps fill that gap. Well, the reality is there's an enemy of our soul as well. Mm. I think he can also be in that gap.
Wow.
And he wants to keep that gap as far as possible. Mm-hmm. Another thing that came to mind talking about the thirsty is pain, affliction. Like, those are things that can cause us to be thirsty, because it's like we're
calling out.
Maybe to go back to your exercise metaphor, like, it's requiring more effort to get through this thing that we're calling life. Mm-hmm. There's so much resistance to just try to get through the day because of XYZ, and it's making us exert more energy. We're thirsty for that living water that will never thirst again.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was just a bunch of random thoughts that came into my mind.
I wish that wasn't true, but you're right. It is. Suffering and the struggles of life.
Yeah.
It forces us to depend on
it is, man.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I wish it could just be like, I just want more so I get more. I have to struggle and fight a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about 17 there? Just the next page. It's got the three parts.
Yeah. He just kind of lays out the rest of the book there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love this introduction to the book, guys. I feel like, I'm really excited for what God's going to do. And listeners, viewers, you could do us a couple of favors. The first thing is, like this podcast, whatever platform you're on, give us a review if you're on Apple Music, particularly. I think you can do that now on Spotify too. Like, it used to not be able to do that. And if you're watching this on YouTube, share this podcast, push this out on Facebook, text it to a friend. I know my podcast app, you guys know, I have this button that I could just quickly send a podcast.
You're really good at pushing that.
I'm a prolific.
You overuse that one.
Podcast sharer. We want you to share this podcast. And really, the biggest thing with podcasts, guys, whether audio or visual, is subscribe. We want you to have that little bell ding on your phone, on your laptop, to let you know the next podcast episode has dropped. And next time you join us, we're going to jump into chapter one, which, it'll be a week from now, but it'll be a few minutes, because we're just going to turn off the cameras and we're going to do this again. So thanks for watching season 5, episode 1 of Radiant Reflections. Thanks for listening to Radiant Reflections, the podcast of the Radiant Life Church in Sturgis, Michigan. We hope today's edition of Radiant Reflections has helped you live like Jesus and share his love with your family, friends, and neighbors. To learn more about the church family this podcast originates from, check out theradiantlife.church. That's theradiantlife.church. Maybe you have some questions after listening today. We'd love to hear from you. Send an email to podcast@theradiantlife.church. That's podcast@theradiantlife.church. Don't forget to subscribe to the Radiant Reflections podcast. When you subscribe, you'll always have the latest content delivered right to your phone from the Radiant Life Church. We'd also be grateful if you could rate and review Radiant Reflections. Every time we receive a 5-star review, more people learn about this podcast. We also want to encourage you to share this podcast on social media and with your friends and family. Join us next time for another edition of Radiant Reflections.